Well, you know, talking about Memorial Day weekend, of course, yes, we do honor those servicemen that died fighting for our freedoms. But, you know, when I think of Memorial Day, too, I, you know, a lot of people, you know, like I say, we call it Decoration Day to begin with. And a lot of us go out there and maybe visit the cemeteries if we had a loved one, you know, that's passed on, and we maybe will take out some flowers. I remember going out there with my mom at times and just going to the cemetery and looking at the grave sites and just going over some memories, you know, remembering some of the things, you know, about that person. And yes, you know, we lose a loved one, and it is painful, and yes, we mourn the loss, and it's sad at times. But I like to look at the good times, too, though, when I think of that, and especially on Memorial Day weekend. It just makes me think about it a little bit more so with my parents. Because, as you see, Memorial Day weekend's beginning, the start of the summer, and it's a holiday weekend, and people are out starting to go camping and going to the lake. And as a kid, you know, I was just talking to Jonathan back there before church, but we'd go down to the lake, you know, quite often when I was a kid, and some of my best memories with my dad was at the lake. You know, my dad wasn't he was kind of a rough, kind of a tough guy, not a really feely, soft man, didn't show emotions in that, and didn't really, you know, involve those kids with nothing too much other than work. You know, he'd get us out there doing chores and cutting wood, or, you know, work. That's what I thought of Dad and discipline. And that was Dad, the big discipliner, and made us work all the time. But thank God he instilled a good work ethic in me. But some of my best memories of my dad was down at the lake. I mean, me and my brothers, we loved to water ski. And my dad, he'd take the boat out, and he'd take us out there to go water skiing. I mean, we'd spend hours out there on the lake. I mean, we'd use all the fuel up in the boat and have to go to the marina there and fuel up some more. And I remember him saying, "Aren't you guys tired yet? No, let's just keep going, because we love being out on the lake water skiing. And I just think that, you know, my dad, that he did that with us. And I know he probably, which I assume, you know, he liked being out on the boat himself, because otherwise we probably wouldn't have been able to do that much. But he played with us in the water. You know, I don't know if you kids, hey, have you been out in the water and had your parents, you know, they get their hand down here in the water, and you put your feet and get crouched up, and they go like that and shoot you up out of the water, and you get down the dive? We used to do that all the time. If you haven't done that, talk your parents into it. You'll love it. It's fun. They toss you up out of the water, and yes. But anyway, you know, remembering those good times. And tonight, that's what I wanted to share with you. You know, maybe a somber holiday, but I want us to remember some good things. You know, we're talking about how the soldiers made the ultimate price and paid the ultimate price, but how many knows that we have a God that paid the ultimate price for us? Jesus Christ, he paid the ultimate price for us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and a little other good things that we need to remember. You know, it's going to be a little night about remembrance, some things that we need to remember about what God, that loving Father, has done for us. And we're going to start out here. This won't be long tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, Peter wanted to put people in remembrance some things. Chapter 1, verse 2, I'm going to start out. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, How many of you want to be partakers of the divine nature? I do. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yes, I think it necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And that's what I want to do tonight to you guys, stir you up just a little bit, to put you in remembrance of some truths. These are things, you know, that we probably all are aware of and know, but sometimes we get on with our lives and things get busy and we kind of forget some of the basics, some of the first things first, some of the most important things that Jesus has done for us. Right? And that's why, you know, and remember, you know, when we have a communion around here, and it's usually on certain holidays, but, you know, of course, you can do communion anytime, any day. You can do it every day if you want to. But it's just a time to reflect and remember some things. It's just, I'm just going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 11. You know, Jesus, before he left, he wanted his disciples to, some things he wanted them to make sure they remember. It says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So until Jesus comes back here, we need to do some things. We need to remember some things of what he's done. Of course, he's talking about here his body being broken for us. And then in Isaiah 53:4-5. I'm just going to turn there. Let's just look at the word tonight. Feast your eyes on it. I can quote these things, but one thing, you know, when you take the word, if you look at it and you read it and meditate on it, you know, that's how you build up your faith. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But, you know, it's not just such a saying and saying and saying, but the more you speak out and speak these scriptures, speak these promises and things that God does, it just becomes more of a reality to you. So it kind of builds up your faith. It becomes more real to you. I mean, you hear something, you do something over and over and over, it becomes more real to you. I mean, actually, you know, I'm going to get off here, but, you know, Satan always warps the word. He uses the word against you, but he always, what I want to say, not warp the word. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but perverts the word, that's it. Perverts the word. Now, for instance, just like, you know, you hear something over and over and over. What I mean, look at the time we're in now. Look what the media does with their lies. They just keep telling you lies after lies and after lies, where they think, you know, you hear it enough and they say it enough and it makes it true. People start believing. That's Satan at work there. But it works the same way with faith. If you get the word in you, you meditate, and you keep speaking that word, it just becomes more of a reality to you. I wasn't going there, but that's 3 cents there for you. Not taking it back. So Isaiah, where were we at? 53, 4, and 5 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah. There's healing. Jesus provided healing. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, looks back at this. That was in Isaiah, prophesied before even Jesus went to the cross. But if we look in 1 Peter 2:24, see if we can prove the word with two or three witnesses. First Peter 2:24. Let's get there. That's Second Peter. Have to excuse me. This is not the Bible that I normally use and read out of. but I can see it. I can read it. So I don't have a problem at home with my lighting and that with my Bible. But sometimes I get up here and I can't see it. So. But in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Amen. I tell you what, if you've got sickness coming on you in your body, meditate on that. Start speaking that and build up your faith. Amen. And as we always say, if you got to go see a doctor, that's fine. Doesn't mean you're not in faith. But as you go see that doctor and see about that thing, just keep quoting that word, speaking that word over you, that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. As one of the, definitely so the truths there that we want to remember. Also, let's go to John 3:16. Like I said, kids, this is pretty simple, easy message tonight. Some very familiar scripture that you're familiar with. John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We have eternal life through Jesus. There is no condemnation, for there in Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. If you're being condemned, if you're being feeling condemned, that's the enemy. It's not God. He's not holding it against you anymore. He's not condemning you. The enemy likes to come in and do that. And I tell you, I'm going to get off this again, but Pastor, I know he was talking about something here a while back. It was just like that movie, you know, how it sneaks in. The devil will sneak into you and do things if you're doing certain things. Well, here's what the deal is with me. I love music. I mean, I was, you know, as you all know, I started out in radio and I had my own DJ business for many years, played at nightclubs, played at, you know, weddings and so forth, and so I was very musically oriented, and I knew music. I mean, all genres, because I did, being a DJ, in the DJ business, playing for things, you had to have certain, you know, music, all different types, country, rock, and, you know, very danceable music, and so forth and so on. And so, man, I was always into music, man. However, when I got born, when I started, you know, made Jesus Lord of my life, And I got rid of all my old record collection, which now I should have been following the Holy Spirit, because guess what? Records, vinyl records are now a big item, and I could be making some big bucks off my, I gave them away, so. But I listen to just the Christian radio station. I mean, if you listen to other music, that's fine. I'm just talking about myself here. What it does to me. But anyway, I just listened to Christian music. But here a while back, I got to listen to some of that old music. Sometimes on YouTube, look it up. And it's like, you know, me and I get it. And, you know, like back when me and Deb was dating, you know, some of the good old hair band music, you know, stuff we listened to. And then I found out one day when I have the Christian radio station always playing in my truck when I'm at work. But, you know, I was flipped one day and I found out that they play on one station is all 80s, Lunch Hour. I said, oh, man, that's right down my alley, you know, all 80s Lunch Hour. So I'd listen to some of that and think, oh, yeah, that's some good music. And I enjoyed that. And I'd start doing that. And noon roll around, I'd flip it off the Christian station and start listening to the 80s, you know, music. And I don't do it anymore. Because for me, like I say, maybe it doesn't affect you this way. For me, I had thoughts and I was remembering things that I did back in those days. And I was starting to get condemned. Look what you did. Remember your past, the way you were back then? So, I cut it out. I haven't been listening to it here. I haven't even shared that with my wife. She's probably thinking, I didn't know that. She knew I was listening to the noon hour thing. But that's the way the enemy sneaks in, works you, and starts condemning you and bringing those things of your past. God's not reviewing your past. Your past is past. As far as the east is from the west. We need to remember that. If you're being condemned about your past, God's not condemning you. We all were filthy, dirty sinners. All fall short of the glory until we receive Jesus. First John 5. God loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's what he sent Jesus for, to reconcile us, to get us back in position with him. After the fall, after Adam and Eve's little mess up, he had a plan from the beginning to get us back. We need to remember that. 1 John 5. And we're going to look first. Spend a little time here in 1 John. We're going to look at Verse 11 first, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And then just flip back over there in chapter 4, 1 John, verse 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The substitute. That's what propitiation is. It's a fancy word. He's our substitute. He paid the price. He took upon all your sins, all your past sins, all your future sins. He paid the price. He took it upon himself at the cross. Then there in 1 John, right there in verse chapter 5, hallelujah, we're overcomers because of what Jesus has done. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You say, wait a minute, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. I thought it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, it's the same thing. Let me show you. Turn John 1:1. Don't want you to be confused there. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he that who I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's talking about Jesus there. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. That's something else we need to remember. Jesus told us, Jesus, before he left there, before he departed, went to the cross. He's telling there in John 16. Right there in John. I'm in 1 John. Let's go to John. Was there, but John 16. I'm going to flip around John here just a little bit. 16:7 I'm going to start with. Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then just look over there, or look back, I guess, John 14. Verse 16:17 says, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Then verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Hallelujah. Thank you. The Holy Spirit can bring things to your remembrance. You get the Word in you, and he'll bring it back to your remembrance when you're going through something. Now, I don't know how many times I'm trying to think of something and it's like or going through something and it just pop up in me. I really don't know much and not really that bright, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. He helps me out. He can bring things to my remembrance. And as we talked about last week, man, Holy Spirit, he's there to guide you, lead you, and guide you. Well, let's look here. 16, verse 13 and 14. And getting ahead of myself here. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. This is Jesus probably speaking. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. And we have a straight line to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. When he hears, he'll show it to you, speak to you. I mean, that's how we communicate with the Lord, is through our spirit. We need to remember that we are a spirit being, You know, there in Proverbs 20, 27, it says that the spirit of man is a candle, of light of the Lord. Candle of the Lord, that's what it is. So he will enlighten us and guide us through our spirit. Romans 8:14, you know, says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how God communicates. It's through our spirit, man. Yes, we can look at the word here and get direction and help. But, you know, we was talking about last week, and I know some of you weren't here last week, but sometimes you need a rhema word, the spoken word from God, and he'll speak to you by the Holy Spirit, lead you and guide you. I mean, there's nothing in here, you know, we was talking about last week, there's nothing in here telling you what to do when you lose your job that you had for many years. He's not going to tell you, you know, it doesn't tell you, well, go down to apply down the street at John Deere or whatever. You need to hear from the Lord. You missed it last week if you weren't here. I think it was pretty good, wasn't it? It was okay. It's not recorded though, because we couldn't record it, so it's gone. It's if you weren't, you just missed it. I'm sorry. There, John 4:23-24 says, "The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." So we need the Holy Spirit to speak to us in certain situations. Thank God. Remember the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to bring things to your remembrance. And I'm busy here. Now, when I was making this message up, I went down to my desk. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the thing is we lose sight that we're spiritual beings sometimes. And the way to really truly experience God is by way of our spirit, man, not by this head knowledge, you know, like I was talking about last week. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It's happened to me many, many, many times in my life. But anyway, I'm down there at my desk, and I'm going to come up with a message, and, you know, the Lord I just thought, you know, since it is Memorial Day week, we'll just do something about remembrance, and thought, you know, it'd be good to remember some things about what God supplied for us. Anyway, on my desk, I have this little book right here. And I pick it up and start thumbing through it and start reading it. And man, I came across something that I just absolutely had to share with you. And I thought, man, I can use this and put my own twist on it. And you'd think, wow, you're pretty awesome, Mr. Gary. That was pretty good. But, you know, I'm plagiarizing the Bible anyway. I could have plagiarized the book, but I'm not going to do that because this lady puts this out so good. I'm going to read this to you just word for word, if that's all right. This book is called Children in the Supernatural. It's by the author Jennifer Toledo. I don't really know nothing much about her, but I think I got this. I'm sure I got this book from the pastor, so it's good. And it's got, you know, Sid Roth talks about it, Heidi Baker, some well-known, and Forged by Bill Johnson. But anyway, I want to read you, you know, like I said, we kind of forget about us being spirit beings. We need to remember that. And we need to, and you're gonna understand here in a moment when I say this, we need to get back into our mother's womb.
What?
You'll understand it in a minute. So I'm just going to read this out of her book. So hang in there with me. It says, children are primed for encountering God. Their purity and simplicity open them up to a realm that through the years many of us have learned to tune out. When I was pregnant with my first child, I read all the pregnancy books. I was shocked to find out that research has proved babies in the womb dream. That was mind-blowing to me. A baby living in a completely dark environment who has never had any experiences, dreams. What do babies dream about? They've never seen anything. They've never experienced anything. Or have they? And this is Psalms 139, 1 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light in you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days obtained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. She goes on to say, there are so many things about this passage that I love. First of all, God is so in tune with us. He knows absolutely every little detail about each of us. And he has known each of these unique things before we were ever born. Not only does he fully know us, but this passage also demonstrates that God longs to be near us. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me, out of verse 5. And then verse 7 and 10, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God's presence, his spirit, is inescapable. God is passionate about being near us. God wants to encounter him. That is why Jesus went to the cross, so mankind would never have to be separated from God's love and his presence. Heaven is motivated by a desire to love and connect with humanity. In verses 13 through 16, we see how present, how near, how involved God is with each person while he or she is still in the womb. He personally weaves together each intricate part of who we are in the secret place. Not only that, but God also writes a story for each one of us before we're ever born. He dreams up a beautiful story for our life while shaping up in a quiet dark of the womb. That is amazing. I tell people all the time, boredom is a choice. If you're bored in life, that is not God's fault. God, the ultimate creator, the king of creativity, has dreamed up an amazing, adventurous love journey for you, and he wrote this amazing story for you while you were still in your mother's womb. You might be getting something out of this, huh? There's a lot going on in there. We being the powerful, free creatures we are, have the power to choose our destiny. We can go through life holding the steering wheel and becoming a product of our circumstances and choices, or we can learn to walk in union with God and live out the beautiful dream he has for our lives. I guarantee you that the ultimate creator did not write a boring, powerless, depressing story for you. One of my favorite parts of Psalms 139 is in verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God's thoughts toward us are overwhelming. They are unending. And God has those thoughts while we are still in the womb. God is so very present. We are the object of his love and affection. He surrounds us. He wraps us in his presence. And he breathes life into us, all while we are still in the womb. Babies are nurtured and soaked in the presence of God while in the womb. All they know is spirit. Their bodies are still being formed, but their spirits are surrounded in the presence of God. That is amazing. So what do babies dream about? Dreaming is one way the brain processes information. Babies in the womb have mass amounts of information to process. They are interacting with the presence of God and being formed in his life and goodness. They are taking it all in and learning to process spiritual activity. I love the end of verse 18. When I awake, I am still with you. Whether awake is intended to mean awake from sleeping or when I am born, the promise remains. God is saying, I am still with you. We are with him and nothing changes. Once we're born, heaven's pursuit of us never changes. His thoughts towards us don't change. His desire to be near us doesn't change. His presence surrounding us doesn't change. And his wild love story for our lives doesn't change. What if, from their birth, we taught our children how to continue to live out of their spirits? What if we nurtured their spiritual sensitivity and equipped them to never lose their discernment? What if we refused to belittle what they saw and experienced by calling it imagination and instead raised them to think seeing and experience things in the spirit was normal? As Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I thought that was pretty amazing. I read that and I thought, I've got to share that. I have the opportunity tonight, so I just wanted to share that. But isn't it amazing, our amazing, wonderful God, the Father? He wants that relationship. It says, draw near to me, and he will draw near. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We can draw as close to God as we want to, because he wants to be near you. He wants to have that relationship with you. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on that cross so that we could return to him and have that fellowship with him. So I encourage you to experience God. Experience his love for you in all that you do. And remember that great love that he has for us as we leave tonight. And I'll leave one more. I'll just leave one more scripture and we'll take off here. In Jeremiah 29:11, NIV, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for that great love that you shed upon us, for giving us your Son, and that he took our place, took the punishment that we deserve, but you said, it's worth it. I want you to come back to me. I want to have fellowship with you. I love you that much. And Jesus, thank you for going to that cross. We know it was the ultimate sacrifice you paid. We know it wasn't easy, but you said, not my will, but your will, Father, and you went through with it, and we thank you for it. We love you. We'll always remember that great love. We thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think it went too long, did we? Yeah, see? Hour of power.